Our scripture for study and meditation today is James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The book of James, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. We're going to be talking about true religion. We're going to be talking about real religion, the way the Bible describes it. Many times today we use these words, religious and religion, and it may be surprising to some people today, but those words are not used very much in the Bible. As a matter of fact, they occur very rarely in the Bible. Now, of course, the Bible is a book of religion, but as far as that specific word religion is concerned, you only read that word a few times in the Bible. And so in James 1, 26 and 27, where the Bible actually does use the word religion, we should pay particular attention to what is being said here about this subject. Remember that he's been talking about doing the word and not just hearing the word. And now he's going to go into some practical examples of what it means to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. So let's read these words in verses 26 and 27, first of all. Let's make sure that we have the wording of the Bible firmly planted in our minds, and then we want to discuss the application of these words. James 1, 26 and 27 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now, in verse 26, he shows us that in order to be Christians, in order to be truly religious, we must guard our tongue. We must watch what we say. Notice that in verse 26, he talks about a man among you who seems to be religious. The reason that he seems to be religious is because he is going through some of the acts. He is perhaps talking about it. And so it appears that this man is religious. Now, this again overlaps with the Sermon on the Mount, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the Jews who gave alms to the people, Jews who prayed out in public, and Jews who wanted everybody to know that they were fasting. So they made a display of their religion. But Jesus showed that they were not truly religious. And James is talking about the same thing here. He's talking about somebody who appears to be a religious man. And other people may say that he's truly religious, but he's not. He may go to church. He may be at church services often. He may claim to be a Christian. He may talk to others about doing what is right. But the Bible says if he appears to be religious, but he does not bridle his tongue, that is, he does not keep his tongue in check, he does not watch what he says, the Bible says that a man like that deceives his own heart. That is, he deceives himself because he's trying to make people think that he's religious when he is not. And he is not a religious person in the true sense of the word because he's not bridling his tongue. And the Bible says this man's religion is vain. His religion is useless. All the church going, all of the good talk, all of the good deeds that he might do are useless because he is not living what he is professing. And so this passage shows that a man cannot truly be a Christian if he's using bad language. If he's saying vulgar things, he's walking contrary to the Bible. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 8, to put off filthy communication out of your mouth. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So a Christian is not to say dirty, vulgar, profane things. If a Christian is backbiting and gossiping, he is not bridling his tongue. And if a Christian lies and slanders other people, he is certainly not bridling his tongue. So a man may act religious. He may talk religious. And other people may say that he is religious. But the Bible says that if he does not watch his tongue, if he uses bad language, ungodly language, his religion is not true religion. This man's religion is vain. James 1, verse 26. Now, he goes on to tell us what true religion is in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled, that is, pure religion and undefiled religion, in contrast to the kind of useless, vain religion that the man has in verse 26, he says, this kind of pure religion and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Now, here again is the announcement. The Bible is telling us, if you want to know what true religion is all about, here it is. It is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, notice that there are two things that he says are involved in pure and undefiled religion. One involves what you need to do, and the other one involves what we are not to do. The first one is the positive, and that is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. The word visit here doesn't just mean that you go and pay a visit, even a friendly visit. The word visit here in the Bible means to look upon somebody in order to help that person. It means to care for, to look after, and provide for that person. So it doesn't mean just to stop by and say hello. This word means to actually do for and help these needy people. So the Bible says to visit in that sense the fatherless, that is, orphans and widows in their affliction. In the Bible, you find three groups in the Old Testament especially that are grouped together in many passages: widows, orphans, and strangers. Many times in the Old Testament, God told his people to make sure that they provided for and helped widows, orphans, and strangers. Why? What do all three of those groups have in common? They have in common the fact that they are in need. They need help, and they especially needed help in Bible times. And today, Christians need to help widows and orphans. Let's start with orphans. Christians need to do what they can, and it's a wonderful thing to see Christians helping orphans out. You can help an orphan by encouraging that orphan. You can help an orphan by giving to provide for food or clothing or other needs of an orphan child. You can help an orphan by taking that orphan child into your home and helping to raise that person. You can help an orphan by adopting. You can help an orphan by becoming a foster parent. You can help an orphan by supporting an orphan home. There are many different ways to do this. But the most important thing is to do what you can with the opportunities and the abilities that you have. And the same is true in regard to helping widows. Say an encouraging word to widows. Pay them a good visit. Pray for widows. Help them financially. If you can take a widow into your home or help other people who are doing the same, in whatever way you can, help those who are widows just like you would help those who are orphans. Because the Bible says that they have afflictions. And the affliction that they have in common is that they have lost somebody very important in their life. Orphans have lost their parents and they need other people to help them. Widows have lost their husband, their provider, and their protector, and they need help in bearing those burdens and in facing and enduring those afflictions in life. So the positive side to this passage is to help those who are orphans and widows. Then the other aspect of having pure and undefiled religion, he says, is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So the first part is what we might call positive, that is, the things that we're to do. The second part is somewhat negative, in that it talks about what we must not do. We must not become spotted by the world, and that refers to going along with the world. That means committing the sins of the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And here in this book of James, you're going to read about this further in James chapter 4, verse 4. Because there the Bible says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So he talks about these matters often in this book, and here in James 1 verse 27 he says that if we're going to have true religion in contrast to vain religion, then we must do the things that he's talking about here in James 1 verse 27. At this point, I'd like to make a few observations about what we've just looked at in James 1 verses 26 and 27, and especially about verse 27. In the first place, when you look at James chapter 1, verse 27, we must not separate this passage from the rest of the Bible. Why am I saying that? Because some people might get the idea that all they have to do in order to go to heaven is to do good to widows and orphans and live a good, moral, decent life, and they will be saved from their sins. This is not all that there is to true religion. This is one verse and a very important part of being a Christian and having true religion. But he doesn't give us all of what is involved in being truly religious here. For instance, a person could visit widows and orphans and live a decent life, not a perfect life, but a decent life, and still not even believe in Jesus Christ. That person could live a decent life and help other people like widows and orphans and not even believe in God. There may not be many cases of that, but that's possible. A person could be truly generous and help widows and orphans and live a decent life and not even be baptized for the remission of his sins. So we must take this passage in connection with what the rest of the Bible says. He's not dismissing those other elements of religion. He's actually presupposing those things. Those things are necessary, and these people didn't have to be told that they needed to believe in God, that they needed to believe in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and be baptized, because they were already Christians. They knew these things, and they knew the doctrine of Christ and how that they were to follow the doctrine of Christ as a whole. So we have to remember that the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And the only way to be saved from sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ by obedience to his gospel. So James is not giving some kind of alternative plan of salvation here or way to heaven. The second thing to remember about this passage is that this is general teaching about how Christians are to help widows and orphans. Individual Christians are to help widows and orphans as they can. Congregations are to help widows and orphans as they can. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That passage says that we are to help people in need, whether they are Christians or non-Christians. So when people take this passage and say that only individuals can help widows and orphans, and that churches can only help Christian widows and orphans, they're going beyond what the Bible says. They're adding to what the Scriptures say. They are binding where God did not bind. The Bible says to help widows and orphans in general in James 1, verse 27. There are no such limitations as people try to place on this passage as we find today in some cases. And remember that Galatians 6, verse 10 was written to churches of Galatia, and it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.